God calls each one of us to be a living sacrifice of praise. Here's more from Mike McIntosh.
You just don't know what's going to happen. And so use our lives for the glory of God. Be a praise unto God, a living Jew that praises God.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Living the life of faith in God opens up new areas of opportunity. Thanks for joining us for today's broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio with our teacher Mike McIntosh as we continue our survey of the Book of Revelation. Often we take our own path, relying on our emotions instead of God's promise. If we let God choose our path, He may allow us to get into a place of testing. But these are the times that we discover what can be accomplished through God's plan and His direction for our life. The letter to the church at Smyrna is our topic today, and Mike McIntosh is our instructor as we look to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11.
You got to forgive yourself. Some of you are still hanging on to the old you. Let your old you die. Pick up your cross, follow Him. It's that simple. Love God, love man. The rest of it, you're just making up. That's all He requires. And if I'm busy singing to myself, driving down the freeway, or I'm grumpy because the traffic is so goofy, and most people are texting on their phones, and that's why the traffic's so goofy, and you want to get out and talk to them about Goofy and Mickey and the rest of them, you don't do that anymore. You just let that old nature go. So he ends there in verse 7 by saying, "He who has an ear." That's simple. I have an ear. Do you all have an ear? Put your hand on your right ear. Okay, now put your hand on the left ear. Now cover them both. You can't hear a word I'm saying, can you? So you've got to hear with these ears. And some wise man once said, "Do you notice you have one mouth and two ears?" Amen. It means you're to use something twice as much as the other. Right? So if you have an ear, then listen. 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 If you have an ear to hear, listen what the Spirit says to the church, says, plural. Not just this church, but this is a book of churches. This letter was in a book. And they could all see. In one letter, Paul says, and be sure to read the letter to the Laodiceans, to a church that's not even mentioned here. These things were common among the Christian community in the first century. And we still have the same problems in the 21st century. Isn't that interesting? You know, Adler, Jung, and Freud discovered nothing but the same thing and just spoke in circles. And you can go get a PhD and start telling people the same thing in circles. Or you can get on your knees and ask God, and He'll speak to you and heal you. So this is common. Man's nature has never changed. And the first thing they did, once they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit, is that one of the sons murdered the other brother. That's what happens when you get away from God. And it went on and on and on. Then he went out to the land of Nod, which is the east of Eden. And I always say he went and nodded out. But he named a city after his grandson, Cain did. And that was the first government without God. And it was the role model for every city council, every county supervisor group, every president, every Congress, every Senate, and every House in the world. Godless. You're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of this world. For your kingdom is in heaven. We're just pilgrims and sojourners. We're passing through. But on the way, you just came from a great vacation, and you're going to tell everybody how great your vacation was, and would you like to come back with me and do a little surfing? This spot is so beautiful where I had my vacation last year. And that's all you're doing. You're on your way home to heaven. Some of you might be there sooner than others. We'll all be there someday, and it's going to be soon. And we want to bring as many people with us as we can. That's the simplicity of it. Don't make it a burden for yourself, a burden for your heart, for souls, yes. But don't think that you're not too good for this or you're not able to do it. You're all able to love God and love people. And above all, love your family. If you're a mommy and a daddy, you love those children. And you love them and love them because they look to you. So you have an ear. And it's interesting that he said, to those who overcome. Now I want you to underline that word because it's used several times in the letters to the churches. Eat, you will eat of the tree of life. Isn't it interesting that trouble started in the garden? And this tree will be in the midst of paradise. And the devil said to Eve, and we should have raised our hand and said, hold it, excuse me, why isn't her husband with her? Why is she talking to the serpent by herself? See, there's a miscommunication between husband and wife from the very beginning, and they were in the Garden of Eden. So there is no perfect people, even if they thought they were perfect for a moment. And she says to the devil, she gets in a conversation. He says, has God truly said that you shall not eat of that tree? And she said, God said, surely you shall not touch or eat of that tree, for you shall surely die. Oh, shall you surely die? She's in a conversation. The devil loves to get you in conversations. And he plants lies. And your mind starts watering these lies. And 6 months later, you're doing something. You don't know why you're doing that. Don't even talk to him. Don't give him the time of day. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I used to dance with the devil all the time. I hung out in a lot of bars. And I thought he was pretty cute. I didn't know that was the devil I was dancing with, but I said, well, okay, I'll dance with you. And then I'd start drinking with the devil. And then I started hearing his jokes, and I started living like him. No, don't give him the time. Resist him. You know what he does? He flees from you. And that flea doesn't mean scratchy kind of fleas that get on you from your cat. He's going to do as much as he can to quickly get out of your presence. He's going to go look for another girl or another boy that's weak. And he'll mess with them. Don't waste your time with him. He's too much into the Bible. She prays way too much. She won't fall for that one. Go get that one over here. So you want to just, from the minute, resist him and he'll flee from you. So I think it's interesting, in closing to that church, the serpent was used and the tree brought together against Adam and Eve. But God gave commandments about the tree, but they didn't hear it clearly. And when you don't hear God clearly, you don't act clearly. You make mistakes. And we know how we should act and how we should live by reading the book. And all we need is the Spirit in us and the words to tell us and for Jesus to help us. And we live a whole new life. And it starts out in the first book about the tree and ends in the last book about a tree, tree of life. And this one, God makes promises to he who overcomes. Now, probably if we had personality analysis, we would, pretty much 90% of us, I would think, in this group that are together right now, we would say, we usually ran. We usually gave up. We usually quit the job. We usually turned our back on whatever the problem was. Right? We weren't overcomers. But we became an overcomer. Amen. The minute we confessed we're sinners. Now, you can fall back into your old way and you're not an overcomer. He's talking about overcoming. To be solid, that you know who you are, where you are, and what you are, and what your mission is. Your mission is simply to love God so you don't want to do anything that would make you a loser, and to love the people around you like you love yourself. But you can't do that if you don't love yourself. So if God can love you, why can't you love yourself? Well, my mom dripped water on my forehead for 17 years every morning for an hour and a half. Really? Yeah, my dad put my head down inside of his tuba and play the tuba for 45 minutes. All these weird things that happened in my family as a child, that's a cop-out. You're a new creature in Christ. In the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. And you, Colossians says, are complete in Him. Fully mature in Christ. So we can't go back to the old me. You're an overcomer. And if you're an overcomer, a promise comes to you that you're going to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. So be an overcomer. Don't run, don't lie, don't cheat, don't deceive. Be at peace with as many people as you can. And men, stand up for righteousness. Too many male species aren't really men, and they don't stand up for righteousness. That's why we're in the problems we're in today. And ladies, stand up for morality and purity. Amen. And for clarity of thought, realizing that you set a model of godliness for the younger girls. Adam and Eve had everything. And the minute they disobeyed God, they lost everything. They were not overcomers. But it's interesting, by the end of the book, all of us can be overcomers. Use these twice as much as you use this, you'll keep yourself out of trouble. Okay? God loves you. So, verse 8, the church of Smyrna. Interesting name, Smyrna. Let's all say it together, we can laugh. Smyrna. Okay. These things says the first and the last. This is the Alpha and the Omega from the beginning. It's Jesus, who was dead and came to life. You're alive and you're going to die, but you're going to be resurrected. I know your works. Here's the first thing he says to the church. We saw this in the last church. I know. He does know. Everything you think you're hiding, he knows. What does he know? He knows your works, tribulation, and poverty. But you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those that say they are Jews and they are not, but they are actually from the synagogue of Satan. I know that. You don't know it. I know these things. And you're going to go into tribulation. This is actually the tribulation. Some say this is the church of tribulation. The next one's going to be our persecution. And he's saying, I know what's going on and the problem you're having. In this city, Christians were fired from their jobs from being Christians, and they were persecuted for being Christians. It was a very wealthy city, a beautiful city. History tells us it's 40 miles north of Ephesus that we just looked at, still exists today, and by many considered to be the most Christianized part of the area of Turkey, that we call Turkey. And they have a situation where everything is large and beautiful. It was the center of culture and of education and learning. It was a beautiful city. San Diego calls itself America's finest city. That's PR. And Smyrna called itself the glory of Asia. See, that old nature carries on in cities too. It's important to realize that in 196 BC, Smyrna built the first temple to Dia Roma. Dia Roma means the goddess of Rome. It's kind of superfluous for application, but it's important because she was a spiritual image or symbol of the Roman Empire. And this beautiful city was the first to build a statue to her and a temple. And they came there to worship the spirit of Rome, but it takes steps to get here. And I want you to note these steps. You don't ever want to take them. Because the further you go down, if it's because of drugs, alcohol, sex, addictions, whatever it is, you take it one step at a time. And it was okay when everybody around you was with you and everything. Then you went down the next step. Yeah, it's not bad, you know. And then the next step, you get a little fuzzy. And you next step, you start missing more work. And you start getting angry at people and jittery. And then you go. And then it gets to a place there's no more steps. It's a slide. And into the fire. So I want to show you these steps that happened in history right here. It started out with worship, spirit of Rome. And then they began doing temples and worship for the dead emperors. Isn't that something? The spirit of Rome and all the great empires that are emperors that are dead that brought us this glorious kingdom. Then the third step was, it was easy now for the living emperors to be worshipped as the next step. And then the fourth step was allegiance politically to Rome. And so people bowed to Rome. They've been trained how to take these steps. But the people and the spirits that are trying to get them to hell are using these steps. And you can see these same steps in America. We've been led down a path that's led us away from the Ten Commandments and the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, truth, love, forgiveness, sin. And we're worshiping everything Rome worshiped. You get to this step that they want allegiance now to Rome. The Christians are not allegiant to Rome, but they gave you a certificate every year. I forget if you pay for it, probably do. You know, a small number, but you got 1 million people given whatever they gave for it. But you get allegiance, and you go into the office and say, do you believe in the Roman Empire? Yes, I do. And some Christians would go in and say, yes, I do. And do you, yes, I do. Do you believe the emperor is holy? Yeah, oh, yes, I do. And they mark it off, they sign it, they take your money, they stamp it. Now, if a Roman soldier stops you on the road, or you're in a government office, or they come banging on your door, hold it, I'm with you. That's a phony Christian. But there are a lot of Christians who say they're Christians, and they carry a certificate around saying, I'm worldly, when they get around worldly friends. You got me? Okay, it's very subtle. So you could get this allegiance and have political protection, but it was then civic pride. So they did their marches in the street for pride. And they had pride parades because of the immoral men and the immoral women. And when that step was taken publicly, it was all over for the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire and the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire. We're in the same place. They all fell. Don't let the devil lead you by your nose, pull you by your ear, put a choker chain around your neck and say, follow me. No, you don't follow anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't need to fear the devil at all. He's a coward. He picks on the weak. And Jesus came because we're weak. So he said, I know all these works, tribulation, and your poverty, but you're rich. Did you know that he knows? Did you know Jew and Jewish comes from a contraction of the word Judah? And it means a praise unto God. That a Jew was a praise unto God. The Jewish people as a whole, Israel, was a praise to the world. And did you realize when you look at the map and you get Israel zeroed in, it's at the belly button of the planet. You got Europe on this side for you. I got to turn around because I'm, yeah, okay. You got Europe, you got Asia, you got the Americas and all that. But here's little Israel that you can walk across to these continents and connect the whole world. That little strip of land with those small numbers of people, those 12 tribes, were praises, Jews, to the glory of God. Now it's you and me. We have this mystery of godliness inside of our lives, having been born again. And now you and I are to be a praise unto God. There's a purpose for our life. And if we take that purpose and we live it, we're going to be blessed. Are we going to have a perfect life? Probably not. Are we going to have trouble? Absolutely. Are we going to have mistakes? Yep. Are people going to be unhappy with us? Oh, absolutely. They don't want anything to do with us. And you see the news, you can read the articles, and the church and Christians, and I was watching, I forget his name, he's on TV all the time. He was mocking Christians. I was flipping channels and I saw him and I stopped and they had to blank out most of his words. But he was talking about, have you ever run into those Christians that come up to you and say, you just need Jesus? That's it. And he started mocking salvation in Jesus. Now, he's a multimillionaire and he lives in Beverly Hills and other places and has planes and jets and cars and he has the freedom to mock God. I don't have that freedom. I mocked him for 26 years. Now, I was an old guy at 26. I was high mileage. And I don't have that privilege anymore because I don't want that privilege anymore. He's not afraid of me or you mocking him or the rich guy on TV mocking him. He's God. I fear God. I fear driving up here and I fear driving home. Holland told me the other night he got home at 11 o'clock. I got home about 10:15. And you're out there on the road, you get a flat tire, and you start fixing something, and three or four guys, high on pot, come over, and they pull a gun and say, give me everything. I said, I've got $1.47. That's good. We wanted more. Bang. You just don't know what's going to happen. And so use our lives for the glory of God. Amen. Be a praise unto God, a living Jew that praises God. So Smyrna, he says, I know the blasphemy of those that imitate Jews that say they're Jews and they're not, but the synagogue is Satan. And I have to ask the question, he knows, but do we know? He knows, but do you know what he knows? We have to come to a maturity place where we stop playing games with him. He knows everything about us. You're not hiding anything. You don't have fig leaves. That's how stupid mankind became once sin entered in. Why did they sew together, which means they made work and labored to cover up their nakedness, and they didn't have to work for anything? Why did they do a fig leaf, which the fig leaf is one of the most irritating rubbing leaves you could put next to your body? I mean, that's how stupid we are as people without God. We're not firing on all eight cylinders. So Smyrna is an interesting city to study, but we don't want to take the steps they did. They got these honors from the world, but they went down, down, down. Now, when it says that you're poor, but really you're rich, in the spirit, he's talking to the church, you and I are rich. We may not have it in our purses, our pockets, our wallets, or our bank accounts, but we've got it in heaven. It's not hidden crypto, digital something. And if you're following the news the last 2 weeks, they're getting ready to push away the dollar, and it's going to be digital. We're about two steps away from the mark of the beast. Next is digital, and we're getting ready for that. They would like to do it before Biden goes out of, some of the articles say, before he leaves the presidency. We're very close to the very end. I want to be where he said in the book of Revelation. The bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. That's why we're here tonight, getting ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of you are, and I love it. So the Christians in Smyrna had poverty. The word that is used for their poorness, which can translate poverty, just isn't being poor. It's abject. It was used for abject poverty. They're eating bark. They're drinking dirty water. They don't have a bed to sleep in. They treated the Christians like they do all over the world. I've spent a long, long time behind the Iron Curtain, and weeks at a time meeting with the suffering church.
I'm afraid there's just not enough time to complete our study, so be with us next time for the conclusion to our look at the letter to the church at Smyrna. Do you truly believe but just too often forget that God's promises are true? How often do you live your life like they're not? Trials that test our endurance provide the opportunity for us to express our love for God and allow Him to demonstrate His love for us. Those who go through these stretching events with joy, praise, and thanksgiving are a living testimony of God's gracious love. And those that don't, Well, they need that faithful example of those who do. If you'd like to review any or all of the teachings from this series by Mike that we presented on CNV, you can find a complete listing of this series through the Book of Revelation on the web in the sermon area under the teaching link at mikemcintosh.com. Now, before we end our time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.